Welcome, allies, to the Visionary Activist Show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey, here in the Bay Area, cross-pollinating, as all of us heretics do. You know, heretic, a term of praise in ancient tradition, because it meant cross-pollinating, contributor to culture, so that knowledge never degraded into dogma. There we go. So tonight we'll be pioneers, more on that in 2 seconds. But next Thursday, I'll be at Open Secret at 6 p.m., Citizen Trickster Kahoot. You can have advanced reservations, rob@opensecretbookstore.com. And next weekend, New Living Expo, Bodhisattva Coyote Rumi Council, that all of our skills come alive. That's Saturday, April 15th, 2 to 4 p.m., newlivingexpo.com. But here we are. May it be that music and metaphor be the incarnational garb whereby power enters the world. So it's the confluencing of ally accomplices. I am here with my two fantabulous musical accomplices, Amikayla Gaston and Brianna DiMara, brewing backstage our tonight and forevermore magical offering. And just to remind everybody, tonight, Thursday, April 6th at 9 p.m., Freight and Salvage. I love, a friend said, that sounds like a place of repurposing. Yes, and we're going to repurpose at Freight and Salvage, 2020 Addison Street, Berkeley, California. It's part of Bioneers, and it's open to the public and free. Holy moly. And not only holy moly, but it's Maundy Thursday. The full moon is last night, beginning of Passover. Tonight, Thursday, is holy moly Maundy Thursday. It's the Last Supper, so we're going to present some of what we're brewing for the Last Supper. It's Majnun, Trickster Guide to Necessary Miracles, you know, with my two great teammates. And so, yeah, as I said to both of you backstage, we're backstage to backstage to backstage, both of you are so impressive, so cultivated, so dedicated in your craft. And I'm currently loving that in all languages, craft means our dedication and our boat, and vessel in all languages means the container and the boat. So our craft and our vessel be our boat in the stormy seas. We love that. So Ami is a force for change, a cultural arts ambassador for the State Department, as well as highly sought after performer and public speaker, right? And just back from many things that you'll tell us about traveling worldwide. She's the founder of the International Cultural Arts and Healing Sciences, right? Remember, in antiquity, art and healing were one thing, as they are in all of us. Yes. Executive director for World Trust Educational Services, and now the recruiting director for the California Jazz Conservatory. I didn't even know. I've worked with you for 800 years, Ami. I didn't know half of this, you know. And then, you know, a powerful journey to the underworld. That when we met, I said, "Oh, you're Pluto transit." But again, arising from that, unlocking her self-expression and healing. In an intensive care burn unit, by discovering she could become fearless through the healing power of music. And then she's collaborated with everybody in the world, too long, and invitation, the Dalai Lama, goes on. And Brianna DiMara, fantastic ally, eclectic violinist, we love that, brings her love of the instrument, right? Oh, and its soulful expression to every performance. She was trained in Western classical music as a child, and has since gone on to study and perform in many traditional styles, including Celtic, Balkan, Turkish, Arabic, and beyond. She harmoniously weaves these influences into her own unique sound and composition, known for her evocative improvisations. Yes, we're going to do that now and tonight and everything. And skillful, yeah, ability to play a broad range of genres from many different cultures. And then she's performed with everybody in the world. It goes on. It goes, a fantastic album. Anyway, welcome. Welcome, Ami and Brianna.
Right. Yay!
Yay! So here we are backstage, the green room, right? As I never tire of saying, my friend Catherine Neville discovered that we call it the green room from Greek theater because it's sacred to Dionysus, the green man. So every musician, every actor, regardless of their role, would spend time in the green room. Here we are, dedicating themselves to the flora and fauna of the earth before they went on stage. So I love that. So yes, welcome. And again, our event tonight, 9 p.m. at Freight and Salvage, not Crate and Barrel, Freight and Salvage. 2020 Madison Street. Right, I keep confusing that. Majnun, Trickster's Guide to Necessary Miracles. And we will touch on more of that too. But welcome both of you so much. And Ami, you're just back from all over the place. Where?
Yes, I just got back from Thailand and got to sing with the elephants in the Chiang Mai region, which was really amazing. And then also London and doing a world performance for Ukrainian refugees and stopping the war. It was the 1 year anniversary and got to meet the fabulous Helen Mirren.
Oh,
wow.
Right. Well, yes, the confluencing of allies who brought what to this, this fantastic cahoots everywhere. That's great. And then Brianna, your dedication to so much. I mean, you're very, very booked. I'm so honored that we can coincide tonight. It's really great. But so what has been most dedicated fun for yourself lately, Brianna?
Oh, well, there's so many things. It's like springtime, everything is blooming, including all the different musical projects everywhere. So yeah, my band Lazuli has some stuff going on, and we just did a really great fundraiser for the earthquake victims in Turkey and Syria, here in Berkeley. That was really wonderful, and have some shows coming up with a wonderful band called Dirtwire. And I'm also just starting to direct a women's ensemble for Arabic music. So there's a lot of exciting things happening.
That's so wonderful. And then, you know, just in our improv to and fro backstage, and I was looking at both of your fantastic charts and noticing we are pattern trekking beings. So when Ami was born, her Mars is 28 plus Libra, whose image is men toiling in a dark pit, a woman calmly lowers a rope. That always cracks me up because it's like
I love that.
It's like, oh, yoo-hoo, oh, men toiling in a dark pit. Wait, here's a rope. Wait, we're witches and women who got stuff to do. We'll just tie the rope to a tree here. But you can climb out any. You can climb out anytime you want.
Not whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. Yes, we're throwing a rope. We're tossing keys to the beautiful and rowdy prisoners. And when we begin our event tonight at 9 p.m., everybody welcome. It's free at not Crate and Barrel. Help me, Freight and Salvage. but then the just past full moon will be rising in the east as we convene at 28 Libra. That's humming all of our charts, but especially Ami. And again, it's men toiling in a dark pit. Woman calmly lowers a rope. So I love that. And we can to and fro and go over what we've been going over. But also, you know, in exploring your beautiful chart, Brianna, I said all these quintiles that people have, irresistible eloquence, which you have from your powerful dedication. And then I said, you might not know that you have this, but you have a particular configuration called Thor's hammer, which is the capacity to sweep corruption out of the halls of governance. And you said, oh, I know I have that. so that's great. Say more. How do you know that you have? How do you know that you've always had the capacity to sweep corruption out of the halls of governance?
Well, I don't know if I have the capacity, but I have the motivation and the enthusiasm for it. I mean, I've always. I don't know. I've always just kind of, especially as a female, in a. You know, musical world that mostly includes men, you know, there's a lot to do there.
Yes.
Sing so, it, sister.
Well, yeah.
Well, you can throw them a rope.
Yeah, for sure. and more.
and more. Here's, right, and here's some Uber Eats and some whatever. If you're not ready to come out yet, you know, although it is quickening, it's almost rebirth Sunday.
And Rumi's book of poetry.
The book of poetry. That well, yes, because we're going to talk about Mars and the liberating of Mars. And this past Sunday, you know, was the annual penis festival in Japan, which is super charming. It's like the pictures are great. You can go to my Facebook page or just Google penis festival in Japan, you know, on April 3rd, I think, last Sunday. And it's super jolly and loving. And it's everybody with, you know, well, everything, right? Popsicles and things and parading through the streets. And it's very upbeat. And we'll get to how we want to transform Mars and the music and metaphor to be able to do that. But that's super charming. So, yeah. And then we're in Way Holy Week, right? By any means that we want to play with, and just the opportunity to, well, I said to you both, I go, well, we want to start off undulating, right? We want to start off undulating our evening tonight because the sky rivers and the ocean currents, hence the 5,000 mile sargassum seaweed making its way now to the beaches of Florida and Mexico, because the currents have lost their undulation because of human bad behavior. So undulating, and then just, do you want to do a little hum to undulating?
Yes, I do want to do some hums to undulating.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Oh, what happened to the hum to undulating?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now you're back.
I must have cut out because of my undulating rattle that I was rattling.
Oh, yes, great. Oh, well, feel free.
Well, I think it's so important. I want to sing the song, listen more often to things than to beings. Listen more often to things than to beings. 'Tis the ancestor's breath. When the fire's voice is heard, 'tis the ancestor's breath in the voice of the waters. You know, and I think that is so important. When I was in Thailand, we were there talking on a project called Tale of Two Rivers, looking at how the river, because the river comparison between the Mississippi River and the Mekong River, because the dams have been put in place by China and all of these other people that are like business corporations that want to control the water, they've stopped the undulating of the river and the eddying around certain rocks and different places. So now that the fish can't spawn and can't swim and lay their eggs because there's no seaweed that's growing in the places where undulation happens. So the undulating is very, very critical, not just to our lives, literally, physically, and metaphorically, but the lives of the catfish and the bird and the egg and all these things that come together in nature that require that spiral that happens naturally in nature.
Yes, the undulating and the spiral, nature's way of resolving conflict. When any opposing forces come together, spirals ensue. Hence, tornadoes and hurricanes, they're just speaking to us about how much imbalance we've handed to nature to resolve. And then, Brianna, all of your glorious music and being is so much about, I just think of the violin and the way you play it is just this aspirational yearning, which invites us to undulate. I mean, is that part of your...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's violin is just one expression of that same thing. But it's a wonderful instrument to be able to express the yearning and, you know, the emotional aspect of all of us. And it's medicinal, you know, it's that medicine that we need for healing in order to be able to connect with ourselves and with nature and everything all around us, sort of that unifying experience that we can all be inspired by.
Right. And there's a conversation within us and through us and out into the world right now about the Venuses, the Libra cultural Venus and the Taurus animistic participatory animism Venus. And then for all of us, as both of you do so wonderfully and inspiring all of us, to make our dedication to be cultural agents on behalf of what we love in nature. Really what you just expressed, Ami, you know, again, the rivers and the, you know, human bad manners. And that's why I also love when we begin tonight at 9 p.m. at Freight and Salvage, free to everybody. But the midheaven overhead will be one of my favorite degrees, 10 plus Leo, which is children swinging underneath the shade of a huge oak tree, the borrowed strength of all nature spirit traditions. And we go, ooh, we are available. We're available. Yeah, the trickster gods and spirits, intelligences say, we're here to help you humans out. All we want is your, you know, dedicated declaration of availability. You know, we're available to be, you know, danced into place, you know, on behalf of what we love. And yeah, the rivers and, you know, and well, Ami, did you sing to the Mekong River?
Yes, absolutely. We sang to the Mekong River and we learned songs of the Mekong River that we got to join with other fabulous Thai artists, musicians, singers, dancers, and really learned about how they rely so heavily on seaweed. So I think it's so deep when you were talking about that earlier. Can you tell us about some of the solutions you were sharing earlier?
Well, you know, we're kind of starting off the Bioneers evening, you know, but welcome to everybody. Welcome to everybody. But one of the things that's really great about that this conference in its 30th year is it is people who are really doing things. And so the conference is as much about people gathering as the presenters, although that's, you know, cool too. But it's solution people, right? And so now is the time, right? So the 5,000-mile seaweed, sargassum seaweed, right, is kind of broken loose from its happy home in the Sargasso Sea, famous to mariners, right? Sargassum grows without any connection to land, right? And so it's now 5,000 miles and beaching on the beaches of Florida and Mexico. And then we say, all right, there's a fertilizer shortage in the world due to the Ukraine war and everything like that. And it's like, this is excellent nutrient when it's in its proper place and even harvested off the beaches. You know, the Sargasso Sea is a home to all this fertile ecosystem. It's wonderfully nutrient rich. And so we go, oh, you poor thing that, you know, our lack of undulation and our messing with the currents has moved the sargassum from its home, right? Because we're going to end with a coming home song tonight, right? Come home, Sargasso Sea, good Sargasso. And then also, many of our allies, you know how to make, you know, alcohol on which we can run everything from seaweed and waste. It's like, okay, let's go.
Right.
You know, let's do this. Calling all, you know, all inventive people, because when we look at, you know, the mainstream response, they're like, well, we got to put trucks on the beaches and destroy the beaches and haul this off to some landfill. It's like, no. No waste, ingenious coming yes. together. That thing. So, yes. right on our doorstep is the Sargassum Sea.
Yeah, and can you tell them, I mean, I just love the way that you always weave in etymology around the difference between not using the word impact or shifting the use of the word impact that's everywhere now into this undulating use of long. What did you say exactly?
Oh, okay. No. It's part of my whatever, because it's like impact. It's all of our good team as well as the cuckoo team. You know, we want impact investing and, you know, to have a cultural impact. And like, really, do you want a short, violent encounter? Or as opposed to, how about a long, curvy influence?
Yes. We want that.
Right? Long, curvy influence to slow it down.
Yes.
And right now, you know, Saturn, the timekeeper, is in Pisces, so it's dream time. And it's like, flow or die. Right? It's kind of what Saturn in Pisces says. But I love John Patrick O'Donohue had many things to say about testosterone that we want to come back to. But he also said, you know, when our heart beats slower, time slows down. And when our heart beats are fast, time speeds. So it's like, take your pick. And it reminds me of this beautiful photograph of a young girl in a wheelchair with cerebral palsy, and she's in a horse corral. And the horses, the narrator says, the horses could sense that her nerves were misfiring. And so the horses all gather in a circle around this young girl, and they slow their heartbeats down into one beat. So all the horses are slowing their heartbeat down to this doom, doom, doom.
Wow.
And they create this field. It's like a horse heartbeat drum with violin somewhere. And it calms down the misfiring nerves of the young girl with cerebral palsy. It's like, whoa.
Some kind of heartbeat like that.
that's a heartbeat full of prayer and yearning. Yeah. Mm. Right. So it's so beautiful. And, you know, horses are part of your totem, Brianna. You are incarnational agent of Jupiter, questing, gathering from all over. I mean, I love how we don't need astrology. We are it, you know. But your passionate horsiness, you're extending your curiosity widely in deep, dedicated ways to all forms of, you know, presentation and performance and human gathering, you know, and then inhaling it back in, right? And editing what you like and what you don't like, and then collaging and putting out again, because that's part of your wise horse self, yeah?
Yeah. And I mean, I love how something that could mean a certain thing to me might be a completely different inspiration in someone else. So, you know, it's really about each individual's experience of the sounds and the music. And my goal is just to help people connect to themselves, you know, because I think like when we're talking about humans and, you know, our impact and bad manners and stuff, it's really just that, like, there's so many of us aren't connected anymore to ourselves and to nature, which is the same thing. Like, you know, we're one with nature and we've just become disconnected from that. And I see music as a way to make that connection again.
Right. Well, you just spoke this wonderful part of your being and your chart, you know, which is you're born with the moon in Leo, right next to Saturn, dedication. And the image for your moon is the constellations of the night sky glow blazingly in the desert. No, the desert, there you go. The endless unfolding wonder of creation. And it quintiles, crazy about quintiles, has a 72-degree angle to your Venus in Libra, right next to Pluto, intensity and beauty, right? And what you just said, the quintile, the reason I love it so much in you and in Ami and in everybody and in us tonight is it's a capacity to hold a true perception as you do and to be a tuning fork so that it hums in others. And that's really, well, the violin is kind of like that, isn't it?
Yes.
right. So you're guiding people to their own autonomy. So it's super clean as well as sweeping corruption out of the halls of governance, right? And it's guiding people to their own autonomy. So that's wonderful. And I said, your Venus's image is a boat dock wrecked by storms is getting repaired, you know, rebuilding the entire world. And it's like, thank you. Thank you, Brianna, for taking that on.
No problem.
Right, but before lunch, right? That's right. And then creation says we'll have, because really, team, You know, the design and who brought what, you know, assignment is to redesign the entire human interface with the rest of our kin. It's a necessary miracle, right? And and Ami, when you were in Thailand and then London and met Helen Mirren, very cool, very cool. I have not been to Thailand, but I've read Bangkok 8. So did you ever read Bangkok 8?
No, I did not.
John Burdett. Oh, it's pretty fabulous. But he makes the point, well, one, he says there's a Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism.
Ooh,
and
yes.
I love that. And was yeah. that
hmm? Yes. Yeah. I mean, it was really fabulous. One of the things that I was so moved by was that there were altars everywhere. like on every corner and every tree trunk. Like it was so woven into the fabric of the day to day. It wasn't reserved for Sunder and that building over on the hill, you know, with the stained glass and the gold leaf. It was very much so a part of the everyday workings of everything. And so you could feel it. You could tell by the way that people were interacting with one another. There was just a calmness. There was not this kind of like overriding fear that somebody was going to steal your bag. People would just leave their stuff on the ground because they knew that nobody was going to mess with it. It was very, very incredible to not be in such a fear-driven space, which is, you know, when I came home, the minute I got home, I was like, where's the keys? Where's the car? Did we lock it? Did we get all the stuff out? And like, it's so based on that frenetic energy. It's not that one horse heartbeat that calms the nervous system. It felt like that, though, in Thailand. It felt very much so like we were breathing in a space that was very sacred.
Right. And in Bangkok 8, which is pretty fabulous, John Burdett lived there for many years, but he has the multiple perspectives, and he said, his characters, you know, to the Thai, Westerners are known as Ferang, you know, which is sort of like Howley, not breathing deeply, kind of non-animistic people. And they said they had to, because it's a detective novel and everything, but they had to not talk about the spirits of the dead and resolving crime on a deeper ancestral level, because it would freak out the Ferang. So they had to hide who they were. So I loved that. There's a lot of, you know, spicy dynamic to that. And then, you know, and then anything, you know, let's see, I'll bring us to testosterone for fun, given the penis festival on Sunday and what we're going to be, the magic we aspire to invite in for everybody tonight at 9 at Freight and Salvage. I'm just very, you know, got a lot out of Sean Patrick O'Donohue, colleague, Celtic, Bardic colleague, and he was reporting on his own and other people's research on testosterone in nature. And he said, we find it in pine. Pine bark has a lot of natural testosterone. I go, oh, I love that, you know, and I love having just read, you know, like Truman Capote's description of his first Christmas. He goes, the spicy, icy virility of pine fragrance. And it's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Diana Beresford Kroger says, when we walk into a pine forest, we always come out smarter because of the aerosols. And what Sean says is pine bark is a natural testosterone. He said it helps build up muscle, right? And, you know, many, many things that he went on to. But he said testosterone by itself does not make people aggressive. Rah, rah, rah. It simply amplifies one's enthusiasm for whatever social game one is playing. And I go, oh, this is important. Mm-hmm. It's so part of what we'll be playing with, everybody listening, but also our aspired magic tonight. So let's change the game, right? And and that's, you know, what are we honoring in the Mars in all of us, right? And also let us not malign anything like testosterone. It's like, because Sean said, if you're in what you were just mentioning, Ami, like it will make us more, you know, reactive and aggressive and compensatory aggression out of fear. But he said, if we gave testosterone to Tibetan Buddhists or wrathful Dakinis, or we can think of it, it just would increase their enthusiasm for creating peace and doing good. And I go, that's so suggestive.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. And you know, a lot of times when you're like cleansing a space, a lot of people use sage, but also a lot of indigenous cultures use pine needles. It quickens the clearing of the space in that way. And so what you're saying totally makes sense.
Right. I've just been perusing, you know, Leafy, which is the online cannabis directory, and then going, right, terpenes, and the pine terpenes also are part of that positive yang, that gives us enthusiasm for whatever we're dedicated to. And I love that. So we are, you know, ruminating backstage on the simple things that we have to invite everyone to tonight, to dissolve all grievance into our musical metaphoric cauldron. And part of what I've been brewing onward, and it's so wonderful to collaborate with you both too, because it's the music that brings the words alive into our bodies, right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to and fro with you both is great. But the grievance piece is
those are grievance notes.
I think they just banished grievance. I can't even remember what I was about to say. Even the word grievance is gone. That's this subtle stringed magic. Oh, like, you know. Anyway, that's great. Yes, absolutely. To and fro. We have enough structure to improvise now and tonight. I love that. I do love that. But so it was my friend Pat Ewing. We ran a pretty great election magic council, and she said, you know, what is the antonym of grievance? And I go, oh, good question, because grievance fuels all kind of right wing cuckoo delusional thing. Like, I go, ah, so the antonym, the opposite and the antidote is gratitude. And then I was saying to you both, I've been saying to myself, you know, going, our inner attention, right, to notice and work and release ourselves of spells that we can be more effective players on the team of creation. Because at first, you know, it's sort of like in the old days of Rolfing, you know, you'd do a different part of the body every session, and you'd go, oh, you know, my calves, they're so relaxed, this should be an easy session. And usually the humor was, no, that part of your body was so tight and blocked that you couldn't even, it was like a black hole. You couldn't tell how much tension it was under. And in the same way, I think when we question ourselves, I'm like, I don't have grievance. And then, but see, once we turn our minds to it, these little Velcro adhesions, you know, and I go, ooh. Oh, I do, like, just it. We want to pull it up to dissolve it, but I go, right, that person did that mean thing 10 years ago. I'm like, go, Caroline, let it go. And the frame is, and do people who've done us wrong need to know, or I'm not sure about that. Do they need to know how mean they were or not? You know, not sure. But for us to dissolve it in any case, because it's from one of my great, you know, whatever it is, the novel by Terry Pratchett, I Shall Wear Midnight, which I so love. And that's in which the cunning man has come to town and created mob mind, you know, and mob mind invites the worst of humans, right? It's the rough music. He calls it the rough music that causes somebody to pick up a stick and then somebody else, you know, and then, oh, and to do things that are cruel. Right. And then the young girl witch, may we all invite this into ourselves, her task is to dissolve the power of the cunning man, dissolve mob mind, which comes down and erupts through thin membranes, you know, and to invite the best of humans to create the atmosphere. And that's what we want to be doing. But she said the cunning man, mob mind, possesses those whose hearts are full of grievance, resentment, and revenge. And it's like, oh. Mm-hmm. So we owe it to the world, right, to aspire and to have all the help that's available to us, you know, now, and especially tonight when it's invited, you know, to going, help us dissolve grievance from our hearts. And I was, you know, driving down the road, and as we, when we're working on things, I was like, right, the fate of the world requires humans dissolving grievance from their hearts. And we make some discernments, you know, grief is love and grievance is in the way of grief, you know? So we'll be playing with more of this tonight, you know, but that's why it's like, right, dissolving grievance and then all the sneaky forms it takes, you know, and But again, help me out, both of you, if you want, because I also want to go, that doesn't mean not to be spicy, right? It doesn't mean we can't have satire and the art of insult and accurate diagnostics, right? It's just the kind of it,
And the
yeah.
holding on to the anger of it, I feel like when I hear you describing the difference between grievance and grief, is like grief is that kind of release of that loss and the mourning and allowing the flow to happen. But
Yeah.
grievance is like, oh, it's stuck in you, which is why 10 years later you're like, I still remember, So it's not necessarily losing any spice, but it's allowing for the flow of the resolution to come through and allowing the flow of, yes, that hurt my feelings, but I can let it go and I can have it get composted. I keep thinking about that giant piece of seaweed where, it can either get thrown in the trash or it could get composted and turn into something beautiful that more people can, benefit from. So the grievance that can turn into grief, which can turn into resolved story and healing, now can be shared as a lesson.
Yes.
That's that cycle, that trajectory of learning in life. And because a lot of people are like, in life, do you want to have an easy life or do you want to have a rough life? But you want to have a both life. So you can learn from the grievance and the grief so that you become more resolute and healed and have resilience.
Yeah. No, and as you're speaking, I've often thought of, our own grief, and then, my oldest sister is a recent widow, and grief. And Martine Prechtel saying so long ago, when he came back to this country after 26 years in Guatemala, that he'd forgotten that Americans know so little about grief. And for lack of grief, we go to war, is what Martine says, which is useful. And I've come to think of grief as a river, that it's an undulation. I think it's never ending. But it is a river that undulates, and we learn how to navigate it. So
Yes.
does that?
Absolutely resonates with what I was saying. Absolutely.
Yeah.
More like an ocean comes in waves.
Right. It does.
Form of undulation, but just more intense.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And again, how to these big forces, grief is a huge force, right? And we don't want to defy it. We want to undulate with it, right? To go along with it. Well, and that's why, especially your Ami, your singing, and Brianna, your beautiful music and violin playing, I find it so grief expressed artfully becomes a sacrament of kinship. It's like with when you play your violin, Brianna, I think of it as like, oh, and it's like we are with you, all beings, all humans, all animals, all creatures who've lost their children or lost that which is, we are with you. It's this poignant kinship.
When I hear Moonlight Sonata, it's so filled with such grief that it helps me release my grief through the playing of that piece. I don't know if you know Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one, right? When it's a rainy day and you're about to dive into the grief barrel, throw on some Ludwig and you're good.
Yeah,
Right.
we had that down.
Brianna, because you begin by studying Western music, right?
I did, but it's interesting because that you bring up Beethoven, because there's a lot of like musicologists and people that think that he was really connected to the spiritual realm of music, because he couldn't he became deaf later in life, and he there's a story about him sawing off the legs of his piano so he could just feel the vibrations. So he was connected to it in a way that most people don't really need to be. I mean, you can be, but he had to, out of necessity, be connected to the vibrational level of music, which is becomes a lot more spiritual at that point, going beyond the surface of just the notes,
That's right.
so there's a lot of study about him, and it's
Yes.
yeah, he is very inspirational to me
Right.
for
Yeah,
sure.
well, elicits, well, because it does hum our kinship. And then I don't know if you know Brianna, but I grew up at, youngest of five, from pretty sophisticated older siblings who exposed me to many, many great things. But one was, as a little girl, my brother would play over and over his favorite piece, which is, it's called Four Last Songs. I don't know if you know it, Brianna, but it's the four last poems that Hermann Hesse wrote before he died, set to the four last pieces of music that Richard Strauss wrote before he died. And the most wonderful recording, just for everybody just out there, we all want to be diversely as cultured as Ami and Brianna, Elizabeth Schwarzkopf singing it. And as a little girl listening to it, I was like, oh, it's grief, it's life and death calling to each other across the abyss. But I th would think of it as like, oh, so beautiful. The grief is so beautiful. Whereas grievance is really not beautiful, but the grief is so beautiful, and I just would think of it as, this is the kind of music that would enchant animals and birds in the forest, right? And we want that. And have you ever played your violin to animals in the forest or whales in the ocean?
Well, not whales in the ocean, unfortunately. I would love to be able to do that.
Yes, yes,
But
yes. They'd be crazy for
violins and
you.
boats don't always mix, though.
I'm sorry, say that again. What?
Violins and boats don't always mix.
No, that's true. That's true. That's true. We'll have
Hard
to
to
bring the whales to you. Okay. Or
Yes, exactly. Get them close to the dog as possible.
in the dream world, in the dream world. Well, the dream world is very close. Again, Saturn in Pisces says, oh, time is very dreamy. And it does say, flow or die. And it's like, all right, we'll flow, we'll flow with the thing. But I often say, some things are always true, but there are times when they are truer, right? And so part of the beauty of what's available to us all now is that Venus in Taurus, beautiful singing, beautiful throat, Ami, beautiful music, Brianna, is exactly sextile to Neptune and Pisces, meaning, it's always true that music is a gateway, an incarnational portal of call and response yearning. Like, we could really use some help. There we go. But especially now, and dedicated acts of beauty that both of you are engaged in globally and with many different groups and all, really does. It's the way to go, right? It's like, the world's on fire. Who brought what, and how do we cooperate? And I love that, like radio, here we are, invisible. We'll be visible to you tonight if you come. But or maybe we'll appear and disappear, right? But music is invisible, and radio's invisible, right? So it's really spirit world, right? It's it does connect to the spirits. And we are inviting in the ancestors. And I mentioned to you, Ami, that your Chiron, little planetoid that really exists, is 29 Pisces, the last degree of the zodiac. It's all coming alive now. And it's, Deborah Falmouth famously saying, in the West, we think of the future in front of us and the past in back of us. Who cares? In the Middle East, it's the reverse. Water reflects a reverse image. So it's really great to reverse our vision. She said, in the Middle East, we're gazing at the past in front of us. It's fun to do, and we're all going to do it tonight together, which will help. And the future invisible behind us. And we're creating the future by gazing at the caravan of our past mentors. It's like, oh, I love that so much. And what we can all do, tonight together, but wherever you be, is opening the portals, going, right, and we have the musicians to do it. That's really great. Going, wait, I hear a caravan. It's a caravan of mentors, coming, we're opening the portal with the umpepu incense and everything for the caravan of our past mentors, that as we step towards them, they step towards us. So, yes, the caravanserai is one of your kind of spirit home places, right, Brianna?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that there's something with all folk music, actually, from all over the world. I just have that connection with it. It all seems to be, even if it's, different countries, and maybe these cultures may or may not have mingled with each other, there's still this deep sense of belonging with the natural world. So when you were asking me about playing for nature and the birds and the trees, I was actually thinking about when I first started learning Irish fiddle. I was actually part of a campaign to save an old growth forest up north in Washington, and we put up tree platforms, and so we could live in the trees and protect the forest from being clear cut. So I was up there in the tree platform with my fiddle playing these old, ancient Irish folk tunes. And, it's just so inspirational, to connect with melodies that have been played over and over again, just countless times throughout hundreds and thousands of years in some instances, so that kinship, I think, really resonates with me, with throughout cultures and with nature, because it's all connected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. And my guests of the last weeks have been, like, Kirsten Olsen brings up this great phrase in her work, symbiotic mutualism, and it's like, symbiotic mutualism. We'll get to chant it tonight as Pluinator's Aquarius going, right? Symbiotic mutualism is the way to go to dispel, the toxic aspects of false community known as cults, right? A cult is a toxic mimic of an actual community, and we want to dissolve things, right? So we're going to be dissolving grievance tonight. And then just, while we're at it, and the power of everybody who comes, we're going to dissolve cruelty and dominance out of the human repertoire. Why not? Again, these necessary miracles. And, the title of our presentation is called Majnun, right? It's Trickster Guide to Necessary Miracles. And I learned that with my friend Deborah Felmuth in Syria. We were at the Baghdad Cafe in the middle of the desert outside Palmyra, and it was run by this wonderful, mad wizard man. I hope he's okay. But everywhere in his Baghdad Cafe were altars and fossils and magic things. And my friend Deborah said, "How did this happen?" And he goes, "Majnun." And they explained to me that people think Majnun means, crazy, but it means crazy for the divine. Mm-hmm. And I think of your violin playing and so much of what you do, Brianna, and your voice, Ami, as Majnun, crazy for the divine, like a particular kind of crazy to displace the not so useful crazy, right? The real thing to as the antidote to the toxic mimic.
I love that. Yes. And for my next album, it will be called Majnun. Oh my God.
There's actually a Persian song called Majnun.
Oh, maybe wonderful.
Maybe tonight I might play that on the Santor.
Oh, good. All right. So there's a song, Majnun. We'll work it in. We're going to be improvising till we step on stage, right? Okay. That's right. I like that. So song, Majnun. Yes. Wonderful. Just that idea of, him, his altered being. And then, the other magic that we're magnetizing, whoever feels to come tonight at 9 p.m., at Freight and Salvage, 2020 Edison Street, Berkeley, California, 9 p.m. tonight. It is free, so you might want to get there early, right? I don't know. Although they're sort of keeping it a secret, it's not on their website yet, those rascals. So it's an esoteric thing. Only if you hear this will you know that tonight it's a gathering calling all public dreamers, calling all dedicated beings. It's a great time to hone our craft, right? Our vessel and our craft, to navigate the oceans of grief and the wild oceans as well. And what I was saying to you both, and I'll bring it up tonight too, but just the remarkable moment of Fox News filming a Fox News guy commenting on the Nashville shootings, and there's a woman in back of him, just in the crowd, who's like, "Aren't you tired of reporting this story?" And he steps away from the camera, and the Fox News camera comes right in on her, and she is ready for that moment. She has her craft, and she gives this, 5 minutes going, "This is the number one killer of children, more than cars, and this is what, and this is, contributing to the crisis on the border because, our loose gun laws are fueling gangs with drugs." But she had it right, and she was just there by synchronicity. She had survived a shooting in Wisconsin in her hometown, and she was visiting her sister-in-law when this happened, right? But I just want to, for all of us, to dedicate so that we're ready for our moment, whenever the path opens, that we're ready to do collective good service for that. And we get to insource our Saturn from having ex outsourced it to, crackpot psychopaths, and insource our Saturn, our Obatala.
So there.
So there. So there, so there, so there we have it. And then and other things, and bonus party favors. I love that Terry Pratchett says genius is always sleeting through the universe until it finds a receptive molecule. And then it's like zoo Beethoven or zoo Shakespeare, right? So to us, we want to gather tonight to be receptive to genius, and genius, Uranus, trickster in nature's evolutionary genius, says, where would we like genius in our lives? Where would we like to be agents of liberating genius? So there. And
And calling in being Majnun, crazy for the divine. I love that. That makes me happy.
right. Well, it's liberating because one of the things that was so adorable about that Bedouin man, and just a shout out to Bedouin culture and how we need it, and it's so beautiful. He's like, let's dress you up, Danny. And he goes, and it was very cute. And then he was grinding the coffee in rhythm, right? Like a drum, like dum dum tick tick dum tick tick. And then he goes, "And we'll get married, you and I. But I'm not a traditional man. I'll have the children for us." Anyway, it was just completely beguiling, right? And it was like I have a wonderful photo of I've never been so happy or on such a great date. Right? It was like so witty and charming. And then just the As Deborah Felmuth always says, well, we visit, Bedouin village, and knock on door. I go, "Really?" And she goes, Yes, you'll see." Because the Bedouin greeting, is that they love strangers, right? "Hello, change your direction and come this way. Hello." And I always want to animate and with our team, tonight or wherever in everybody's hearts, that, to be more Bedouin. And to reframe refugees, as pilgrims. And if we were Bedouin, we would say, "Come in. You must have endured so much and have so many stories, and they must be the stories that we need." So, halloo.
Yes, can we please do that? Because I do feel like we're in such a time where everyone's in this whole kind of atomistic way where they've got their own headphones in, listening to their own music in their own car, and we don't have that, welcome stranger, welcome community. Let's build kinship and family. It's very much so like, get away from me. What package is this? Who are you? It's pushing people away as opposed to welcoming them in. So,
Right.
yay, Bedouin, halloo.
Hello, right.
Hello.
And the wonderful saying that Capital Cop has on his Twitter feed, but some stranger remembers you because you were kind to them. Right.
Yes.
And that's what we want. We want to ladle out, to dissolve grievance and ladle out kindness and grief and beauty and all of that. So thank you, team. We're on our way out, but we'll see many of you tonight, perhaps. And again, radio show goes out all over the place. Autonomy is a sacrament. So if you feel to come tonight, you are welcome. And if you don't, that's wonderful too. Right. So we
And
are.
we'll say hello to you wherever you
Hello, hello to you.
hello. Hello to
Hello,
you.
hello. Woo-hoo, hello. That's right.
Woo,
Hello, right. We're in cahoots. Hoot, hoot. Right, that's right.
hello.
So it is my teammates, my wonderful teammates, Michaela Gaston and Brianna DiMara. Oh, and the wolves. And the wolves as well. There we go. And the wolves are chiming in. We are convening tonight. Oops. Oh, well, the wolves keep howling. Okay. Well, I can't apparently stop it. All right, so really it's time to go. All right, so we're Trickster Majnun and Trickster Guide to Necessary Miracles with Ami and Brianna tonight, free at Freight and Salvage, 9 p.m. See you there. Thank you both so much for in perpetuity in the past and for now and for our tonight kahoot. Thank you so much, Brianna and Ami.
Thank you.
All right,
Thank
and
you.
thank you, and always to Kirsten Thomas. I'm Caroline Casey. See you tonight.